Foster. Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senate President Machicki.
Here.
Senator Hughes.
Here.
Senator Shower.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
14 members present.
With 14 members remaining present, we still have a quorum to conduct business. We're going to turn to the Juneau Warehouse Storage Lease. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
I move that Legislative Council approve the Assembly Building Utilization Subcommittee proposal to convert the
On the record, we had our script bifurcated on different papers this morning, and since it's earlier, we're tracking a little slower. Senator Reinbold, a motion regarding the warehouse.
I move that the Legislative Council authorize the agency to secure a lease for the Juneau warehouse space with Alaska Legacy Partners, LLC, for a five-year lease and two optional five-year renewals.
Mr. Kestel, if you will briefly summarize the lease. Do we have that on the record?
For the record, my name is J.C. Kestel, procurement officer with the Legislative Affairs Agency. Thank you, Chair Hannon and members of the council. The agency received four proposals for warehouse space, and the agency is recommending a contract award to Alaska Legacy Partners, LLC, for a warehouse in the Shawn Drive area near Costco. LAA is requesting approval to secure a lease agreement for a initial five-year term with two optional five-year renewals at $5,400 per month with annual increases of 1.5%. The proposed lease exceeds $50,000 in one fiscal year, therefore Legislative Council's approval is required. Happy to answer any questions.
Seeing no questions or hands raised, Ms. Geary, will you call the roll on the motion to secure the lease?
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senate President Machicki. Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Shower.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
13 yeas, 1 nay.
With 13 yeas and 1 nay, we have approved the lease. The next item on our business is the FY23 Legislative Council Legislature Budget. You've been handed copies of that. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for the budget?
Do you have discussion first?
We put a motion on the table, then I'll object for discussion.
Okay, I move that Legislative Council approve the Assembly Building Utilization Subcommittee. Is that the right one?
No, the budget.
Okay, here it is. Okay, sorry. Sorry, guys. The other motion was on a separate sheet of paper. This one is in order now. I move that the Legislative Council per AS 2420130 submit the fiscal year 23 Legislative Council proposed budget to the House and Senate Finance for the review and action.
And I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Geary, if you'll summarize the budget proposal, and I'm not sure if you want Ms. Lesh up there or we'll wait.
Good morning. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs. Chair Hannon, Vice Chair Reinbold, and other members of the council, before you today is the Legislative Council FY23 proposed budget and sectional narrative that details each section of the budget. This committee is responsible for authorizing and submitting to the finance committees so that they can do their work. Rather than going page by page, I was going to highlight on significant items, and if at any time along the way you have a question, please let me know, or I'll answer questions at the end. So just to recap the last fiscal year, LAA staff worked a combined total of more than 10,000 hours of overtime, which is the equivalent of just over 5 full-time positions. Some employees hit the annual limit of 150 hours of comp time, and essentially the extra hours required to complete their job duties was essentially donated. Some of the additional work was a direct result of the 4 special sessions. Some of it was a direct result of the pandemic. But essentially, back in FY16, the agency received some large cuts and have been pretty much flat funded since. And so I think with the addition of some services we provided, new services to support the legislature, such as adding cybersecurity measures, mandatory changes in the state payroll and accounting systems, the integration of Microsoft Teams, some of the services that were previously delivered by other entities like phone services, TV services, those are no longer provided, and we have to take care of those in-house. Additionally, while many in the executive branch have received cost of living increases over the past 5 years, the legislature hasn't had one since 2015. So all of that together has kind of led to low morale, employee burnout, and has impacted recruitment and retention. So this is the year that we are coming to the legislature for some resources. This particular request adds 4 new positions, 3 in IT and 1 in personnel, as well as some funding for robust cybersecurity tools, and 2 structural changes to add 2 new allocations for more accurate and transparent budgeting. So overall, there's no increase to the allocations for those purposes. We were able to take advantage of an increase that we received to cover a higher PERS rate that was included in the FY23 governor's figures. So by utilizing those funds, we don't have to ask for an increase in the authorization. There is one small modest increase for $100,000 for the Office of the Ombudsman so that they could support existing workloads, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I'd like to, not today, but relatively soon, I'd like a breakdown of those incremental costs. You know, you were talking about special session costs and COVID costs, and we can have that broken down. I'm just kind of curious because some of us felt that the special sessions called by the governor were a total waste of time, and I'd like to know how much what kind of financial burden it has put on our budgets, because this isn't the only place we're seeing it.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I'd be happy to put those figures together and share them with the committee.
Stevens.
Thank you, Ms. Geary. Maybe it'd be nice to know a little bit more about the issue of our having to deal with some phone and IT, phone and TV services that we didn't have to deal with before. Why is that now suddenly in our area, and who used to pay for it, and just what happened there?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. So the phone services used to be provided by the executive branch, the Office of Information Technology. They are actually moving to Microsoft Teams for their phone service. and will no longer be providing any support to the legislature, regardless of if we decided to go with the Teams phone service, which we are not, I can gratefully report. And so what we'll end up doing is replacing the current phones with something similar, but it'll be through ACS, and so essentially our IT folks will have to support that endeavor. I will say that the phone service that we paid for through the executive branch was just under $200,000 a year, and so by adding a position to support this new endeavor and paying for the new service is actually a net savings to the legislature. So overall, I think it's a good thing, and it'll save a lot of frustrations in dealing with the executive branch. The cable TV service was previously done through GCI. They no longer do cable boxes, and so it's streaming services now, you may have noticed, and so that requires IT support.
Representative Clayman. Representative Clayman, could you move the mic closer? They're not picking you up.
Can you hear me? Is it on?
It's not on. That would be why.
That'd be wonderful. But
is it one of those Senate tricks?
I think that's what I heard.
Go ahead and yell.
They figured it out.
Is this better?
That's much better. Thank you.
Technology is working. I'm hearing a lot of complaints about the time it takes for both bills to get drafted and amendments to get written coming from legal services. And I recognize there are some legislators that seem to over request bills and amendments compared to others. And that may be an issue that we should be addressing. But in terms of staffing, it just feels like they're understaffed, and I don't see any measures to increase that staffing. And I recognize there's the frustration of overuse, but at some level, you're losing people and having a hard time recruiting. And I know the recruiting problem is actually a problem throughout the executive branch as well. So I'm just wondering why we're not seeing anything that addresses that in the budget.
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, Representative Clayman, the legal services budget specifically has had some long-term employees retire recently, which has led to enough funding in the budget. Just speaking about the budget, not about actual positions, but they can actually, they just hired a couple more positions, and they can actually hire one more, but as you can imagine, it is pretty challenging to onboard somebody during the busiest time, and so there's a lot of training required. This is very specialized work, and so I know after this personal bill deadline that just passed and some other priorities, we will be working specifically on addressing what can be done, whether that's a legislative council policy, what we can do to assist with legal services. So though that's not reflected specifically in the budget, it is very on our minds, and we know that it needs to be addressed.
Thank you.
Seeing no other hands, we're ready for a vote. Ms. Geary, can you call the roll on the motion to approve the submission of this budget to the finance committees?
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman. Yes. Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes. Yes. Representative Tilton. Yes. Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
With 14 yeas and 0 nays, the motion is passed, and we are submitting a budget. The next item is the Assembly Building Subcommittee recommendation. Senator Reinbold.
I move that the Legislative Council approve the Assembly Building Utilization Subcommittee proposal to convert the Assembly Building to residential space for the purposes of legislative housing. I further move that the Legislative Council approve a project budget not to exceed $5,500,000 in existing capital funds, of which $250,000 will be used to retain Jensen Yorba Wall INC for design services.
And I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Geary, and I'd like Architect Wayne Jensen to join her at the table, summarize the subcommittee's recommendations, and take questions.
Good morning again. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. The Assembly Building Utilization Subcommittee held several meetings, discussed several different options for plans. Ultimately, it was decided that utilizing the Assembly Building for the purpose of housing would be the best option. We worked with Mr. Jensen to put together some conceptual floor plans, and most popular plan allowed for 11 apartments on each floor for a total of 33 units. It's a combination of one-bedroom units and efficiency units. And each floor will have a common laundry utility room, room for electrical and communications equipment. This proposal is detailed in a memo from Jensen Yorba Wall to me. It goes through the proposal floor by floor and the overall construction budget, which the $5.5 million includes everything from the design to any asbestos abatement based on the studies that we've had done so far. Construction, basically start to finish is what that budget encompasses. Wayne Jensen is here to answer specific questions, and then I'm also available to answer questions, and then we also have several members from that subcommittee, as well as yourself, the chair, who might have comments as well.
Representative Clayman?
Is this working now?
No.
I'll just talk loudly. We just got a floor plan. Is that going to be the same for all three floors, or is that just one floor and we're going to see two more floor plans?
Representative Clayman, through the chair, that would be the same floor plan for all three floors. Be a little bit of difference on the first floor because of the main entry to the building, but the basic floor plan would be the same. There'll be 11 apartment units on each floor for a total of 33 units for all three floors.
One other thing I might add is the colored paper that you have in the 11 by 17 is not the exact floor plan that was chosen, but it is similar, and it is just to demonstrate the possible furniture layout options so that you can get a visual on that.
Representative Clayman.
So I'm seeing in the memo it says there's 15 one-bedroom apartments and 18 studios, but on this page you've distributed, it looks like it's, I don't know, I brought the microphone right here. This looks like six or seven one-bedrooms and four studios.
Through the chair, Representative Clayman, I believe what you're holding is not the actual approved floor plan. That is just to show what it might look like with furniture in it. That was a request made, and Mr. Jensen's firm didn't have the time to add in the furniture for the actual floor plan, which is a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper attached to the Jensen Yorba law, or excuse me, Jensen Yorba wall memo.
Senator Stevens, go ahead.
Well, thank you. And it's always great to see you, Wayne, and you've done some beautiful work for the legislature over the years. What about the parking area below? What's the situation there?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the parking area would remain the way it is right now. I believe there is 12 working spaces.
Well,
I don't remember exactly. But.
So there's like 17 spaces, but some of them are used for storage and different things. So I think once the tenants are out and the legislature takes full possession, then we can figure out exactly how many spaces are usable and what the best use for the garage is.
Senator, Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a specific question on the design itself. My question has to do with the subcommittee process, and that the subcommittee made a decision that it would be best utilized for apartment buildings, and then this was presented here before us. I just don't recall any of this kind of coming before the legislative council, so the subcommittee made a decision to move forward without bringing the utilization of turning this into apartments back to the whole council, and then went out and had the architect do the drawings. Was that, I mean, there had to be a cost for that, and how was that contracted out to do?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, as Mr. Jensen sits on the advisory committee that donated the assembly building to the legislature, which we accepted back in August, I believe it was, of last year. A subcommittee was appointed, and we had several meetings and worked with Mr. Jensen to develop those plans. It was within existing procurement authority of the chair to develop those plans, and the motion is actually to it might be combined, but the motion is to accept the recommendation of the assembly building subcommittee and to award the contract, or to approve the construction budget. So I don't know if that answers your question.
And so can I ask who the members of the subcommittee are? Because I don't know that the whole legislature has any idea who the members of the subcommittee are who are making that. We don't have a memo from the subcommittee letting us know what their recommendations and what it was that they looked at. I mean, I understand there were some other options that might have been available to us utilizing this building as a place where we could bring agency together. And so I just would like to go in depth into that just a little bit more.
through the chair, Representative Tilton. So Chair Hannon was the chair of that subcommittee. Senator Stedman, Senator Bishop, Representative Tuck, Senator Keel, and Representative Edgman, and I believe I captured everyone. And you're correct in that we didn't prepare an official memo to discuss sort of what went into the different decisions. I think perhaps Chair Hannon might be able to better speak to your specific question.
And the subcommittee was formed at a Ledge Council meeting. My staff did not tell me which one, but it was last fall, the same time that we created a subcommittee on security. We also created a subcommittee on the building. The subcommittee on the assembly building's use has met three times. and the discussions about its specific use evolved to the recommendation that's before you. I don't know if any of the members who were at that last meeting want to speak to that, Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did have in the previous meeting, or our last meeting that we had, we did have a floor plan that demonstrated possibly tenant use and those agencies moving into the ground floor. When we looked into it a little bit further, the cost of being able to, having to remodel that, a lot of these rooms existing right now in the Assembly building, because it used to be an apartment building, there's these old cast iron bathtubs that are in each one of those offices right now. They're kind of boarded up and boxed in. But to remove those is going to be really a costly expense. And so just trying to utilize with as less remodeling as possible because of the cost of the remodel would be so high. And then looking at the, because we are having residential rooms on the second and third floor, you know, how much do we want the activity on that ground level with more maintenance costs that will have to go up for tenants in there, and then security and everything else to go along with that. So we came to the conclusion it would be best to use those as all residential, and then having, you know, just the access for legislators and staff or whoever happens to be using the facility. And then again, we're always been looking at trying to maybe Airbnb them when we're not in session. But then we looked at that, you know, that's still a decision that has to be coming from the committee, because looking at that, it might be just better for us is to have them available for us through the year rather than Airbnb in and out. So those were some of the discussions that we had in the committee.
And let me just, I have neglected to put on the record that Senator Wilson has been with us the entire meeting, and Senator Keel has been with us most of the meeting and is also on that subcommittee. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your allowing me some time to go through this. So just looking at it from a viewpoint of housing and looking at it as being legislative apartments, my concern, and I expressed this concern at our meeting when the building was being gifted to the legislature, concern that I have has to do with competing with the private sector. So when you're looking at making this into legislative apartments, and I do agree that it is difficult to find places here in Juneau that are of a, you know, for to rent, that especially in the economy right now, that are cost effective, if that could be a word to look at. But my concern is that in competing with the private sector economy, have you thought about what it is that you plan to do with administering these apartments? First, how's the decision going to be made of who's going to be available to a bid or whatever? And I don't even know that you've gone that far, but looking at costs and what I found in the market here is that whenever the legislature puts something out there, like when we, and this is not saying that I'm against the stipend for the employees, for the legislative staff, but when we gave a legislative staff stipend, the rental market prices went up accordingly to what the legislature was paying for this, for the stipend, rents went up. So my question is, did we consider what kind of a cost you would be charging for the rental of the units, and to be consistent with things that we've done here before? I know with the input into the building of the washing machines that we have, one of the things that we made clear, that was made clear, was that we could not compete and have the cost of doing the laundry be less than what was out on the market. So I guess that's my question, is how are we planning to compete here with the private sector?
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, Representative Tilton, I think the issue is really that the housing doesn't exist in the private sector. So this is allowing something, this is allowing legislators to be able to find housing and not interfere with conducting their legislative business. As for the rate that will be set, that will be a decision that will have to be made. I would suspect that we would go with the going market rate. We all know legislators receive per diem, so that will have to be factored in, whether that's deducted or how exactly that's done, but that will be a policy decision. And I think, you know, when this initial concept was brought up, we did meet with the mayor of Juneau, and it was definitely not, they were much more interested in this this project taking place than worried about competing with the private sector. So I really don't feel like this is a particular concern in this community, but you are correct in that decisions do still need to be made about some of those details. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Chair Hannon.
I guess I could put on the record that the community leaders from the current mayor, previous mayor, have all been supportive and engaged with the Juneau Community Foundation and encouraged the purchase and gifting of the building to us to make sure that we have adequate housing for legislators, especially in times when there might not be housing available, i.e. a busy tourist year when we go further into May and the seasonal housing that we've had a relationship with might have to already be vacated. Representative Klayman, I saw your hand up, and then Senator Hughes.
Sir.
Oh, excuse me. I had Edgman. Thank you. Edgman first. Representative Edgman, then Representative Klayman, then Senator Hughes. Right there on my notes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, you know, I'm on the subcommittee, but I missed the last couple of meetings, unfortunately, so I'm sort of in this awkward situation. You know, I find myself agreeing with a lot of what Representative Tilton is saying, and also the fact that this decision comes from the subcommittee to the full council, basically with a predetermination aspect to it. It was my recollection that the Ledge Council was supposed to make the determination whether we were going to go to residential housing or to do something else before we got to this stage. So it just feels like this is progressing in a manner like it's, here it is, make a decision right now. And I thought that was supposed to happen at the Ledge Council first and then go back to the subcommittee with that type of information had. It's also interesting to note that you know, the legislature right now, at least from my what I can see on the weekends, you know, I don't know if it's a third of the building or half the building flies up north for the weekend. And by establishing a situation where you basically have dorm housing across the way, I wonder if that would encourage that kind of activity more so or not. And it's also fascinating to know, you know, have we done a survey to see how many people actually want to live in kind of dorm-like housing? Where you've, you know, we're all sort of clustered here in the building, and if you're like me, you want to get away. You want to be walking down the hallway and seeing everybody you just spent the entire day with. And so I kind of wonder, you know, that it just seems like there's been some steps that have been skipped here. And again, I'm on the subcommittee, and I'm to blame for not being there, but I think all that should be part of the discussion item as well. And to represent Tilton's questions about the impact on the local economy, it sounds like you've covered those bases and you've done your research, but that's 33 units that otherwise, you know, in today's environment, somehow are being provided. Because everybody does seem to have housing, whether it's the Driftwood or it's one of the hotels or what have you, that's going to not see that kind of business. That just seems to bear a little bit of discussion as well, too.
And I guess I will just as chair take ownership of, I thought I had appointed a subcommittee to flesh out those and come back with a recommendation. It didn't seem to me that the subcommittee working on it and that not having a recommendation. I do have Representative Klayman, then Senator Hughes, then Senator Machicki, then Senator Bishop, and was that Senator Stedman? put on the list. Representative Clayman.
Just in terms of the kind of the marketplace, I recognize that I live in a very small world of market, which is that I continue to rent from the developed female folks in one of the fourplexes. I kind of agree with Representative Ed, and I like being three or four blocks from the Capitol and not one or two blocks from the Capitol. I like to walk home and walk the road in the morning. But I, in the other narrow economic world is my staff, and just in terms of the rent prices in Juneau, I keep in touch with what they're seeing for rent, and I haven't heard any reports of increased rent prices as a result of the stipend coming in. Their rent prices seem to be pretty consistent over from 1 year to the next, and in general from what I hear from staff, that it's not always easy to find housing, but you usually can find housing. So I think there's, to me, there's a question, if you're creating 33 units, you know, how many people in the legislature would actually want to use those units? If the legislature wasn't using it, how many staff would actually be that interested in that as a housing location? Because I recognize 33 units is a fair number when you think about the F-60 legislators. And I know it now, an 8-year resident and developed, you know, I kind of like having two bedrooms. I can put a bunch of stuff in one and sleep in the other, and I'm not sure that I'd be that interested in getting closer for the West Coast.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 33 units, so we have 33 people that would not be renting in the private sector, so there's definitely an impact, and I wonder if some of the conversations early in the support from the mayor realized that that number would be there. But my question is, I was one of the ones up until the last couple of weeks having trouble finding a place. It was tough. But I'm wondering, were there that many, 33, that were having trouble in the final 2 weeks as far as working with Ledge Housing? Were they getting reports of people just not having a place to go? Is there a demand for 33?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, we certainly did not have 33 members searching for space. You are correct there. We do hear from members and staff as well that find space, but they aren't happy with it, and so they're, you know, looking for other space that they don't find, so they end up being in sort of an uncomfortable situation or in with roommates when they'd rather be by themselves. So I think there are definitely still issues that exist with finding housing.
Senator Michicki.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the work that was done, just to think about some options for the building, but I do think we're putting the cart before the horse, and I get all the argument, and this is from a guy that was couch surfing for 5 weeks before Saturday, so there are interesting housing issues in Juneau, but either way, I feel like we need more discussion on the purpose of the building, options, possible phasing, a policy, and then a decision. And we just have something kind of plunked down here that's great, it's good information, and gives us a view of what the building could, one option that it could be used for. But I think we have, I'm not ready to vote on whether or not we move forward on this project. I feel like it's way premature for that, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Just like that, I think competition is a good thing. I, for one, slept in a broom closet literally for 4 months when I was a commissioner. There was no housing. I only spend probably myself 7 hours in my room. I don't care really where I stay, just as long as I got hot water to take a shower. So I'm really not, you know, up to, I'm not down here for creature comfort. So. We're only as good as our staff, and staff has problems finding safe, secure housing. We have single females that are walking to and from work. Some of them are walking quite a ways in the dark. And so, anyway, I'll leave my points.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And when we look at the housing issue, we find the housing constraints, talking to folks in private enterprise from Kodiak all the way to Ketchikan. Some of the shippers can't find housing in those communities. You know, so, you know, and then when they do get an employee, they have trouble even with affordability. So it's nothing new to Juneau. And then when we focus it into Juneau, you know, we, one of the biggest complaints we have for about the capital being here is housing. We don't have housing. And then in the spring, you know, the tourism season fires off, which we didn't have the last couple of years, but it's coming at us like a freight train. A lot of the housing, you know, is geared for the summertime use. So then when we need a special session, we get complaints from a lot of our members that they don't have housing. They want to move the capital. We can't have housing. You know, so one way of dealing with that is to ensure that we do have housing. And, you know, this is part of a multi-pronged solution to deal with and ensure that we do have housing so we can conduct our legislative business at the Capitol where it belongs in Juneau and, you know, do our job. And the issue of market impacts, I don't think that's going to be much of a market impact here. We would be getting a lot of concerns from the community of Juneau versus trying to help us solve the problem of housing. And as referenced earlier by Senator Bishop, you know, there's safety issues. You look at some of the characters downtown. I've had employees in my office, gals here, they're married, but they're still here, you know, living by themselves, not showing up for work on time. And you get worried about, you know, if something happened between here and where their apartment was. And we've even had security go do security checks on them to make sure that, you know, if they, maybe they had, like in one case, there was a dental appointment that I didn't realize. Other cases that, you know, they've been just late for whatever, but it is a safety issue. And you know, so, you know, that's a smaller, or I shouldn't say smaller, less important, it's one of the issues that we face dealing here with our employees. And I don't think there's any interest in having some, you know, cheap place to stay. You know, we're going to have a policy that, you know, these units go at the market rate, whatever that is, and that's pretty easy to figure out with market surveys and stuff, so we don't have, you know, compounding issues. So I would think the legislators would have first option on these and then down into our staff. So, you know, we need to make sure that if we need to assemble the legislature in August or July or June, we can do it. And we can do it in a safe environment and conduct our business, because we do have on occasions special sessions. And I expect the housing throughout Southeast get even more constrained over the next couple of years when you look at the build-out of the tourism industry. It's happening in all the major towns I represent, Ketchikan, Sitka, Hoonah. And Juneau has the same problem. So, you know, this is a way to help solve that. And these are not elaborate, fancy places. It's, you know, couldn't find a more homely building, frankly. Concrete structure. It's nothing fancy. So, Madam Chairman, I support the action of moving forward. And how we phase it in, I guess we can discuss that. But I think, you know, with the long lead time of supplies and the busyness of the contractors, as far as I'm concerned, the sooner we get rolling, the better off we are.
I have Senator Reinbold, Representative Edgman, and then Representative Tuck in the lineup. Senator Reinhold.
This is an interesting discussion. I actually support what the co-chairs of finance in the Senate are actually saying, which is,
interesting. We do have Governor Dunleavy and Governor Walker both running for election now, and they both seem to love special sessions. And I will first like to put it on record that no one's more motivated to move the legislature than I am right now, because, you know, out of Juneau, because of my illegitimate ban on Alaska Airlines, I can't leave. So I think it's outrageous. But I will say, I want to put it on record that I actually think this is a brilliant plan. I am very excited about it because I've had a very tough time finding housing at times. I spent $2,500 just to be close as a female that wanted to just be close to the Capitol. I spent $2,500 a month on housing to be close. So I think that if they don't bring cars and things like that, it's awesome just to have housing just down the road. I think it's an excellent idea. And so I'm actually very supportive of voting on this even today, because this is a way better plan than I ever anticipated from the group. And I think that the idea of potentially doing Airbnb so we can do maintenance on it is a fabulous idea. And you know that the private sector's had 60 years to try to sort this housing out, and they just haven't done it. So I mean, as much as I love the private sector, I think we are required to be here, and housing is critical. So I would want to move forward on this, but it's my opinion.
Representative Edgman.
Yeah, you know, on the very end, that this may, you know, easily be the way to go in terms of what we do with the building. But and I don't want my comments to be misconstrued that I out and out oppose this, but I just want to make sure that the analysis has been done in the background. I think it's also worthwhile to note that Juneau is an excellent host community. The Alaska Committee and others have done everything within their power to make sure that the conditions, housing, everything else is accommodating. By and large, I think Juneau is a fairly safe community. That's not to say that there's issues walking down to South Franklin or whatever in the middle of the night or what have you, by the bars, whatever, you know. But before I make a decision, I want to be able to understand and that the economic analysis has been put in place. You know, what's this going to cost us in terms of having these buildings, the units not occupied during two-thirds of the year, and or maintenance of Airbnb, what's going to be behind all that? You know, if I was a developer in a previous life, I was in the private sector where, part of our village corporation, we did invest in units like this. I'd want more analysis because there's no comparative analysis in front of me other than it's a good idea and we need to have close housing for legislators and staff, which I totally agree with. But I just want to be clear in the end, I probably will be as enthusiastic about this as others around the table. I just need to have a full analysis in front of me to be able to know that we're making the right decision. Also, for those of us who are on the Finance Committee, that the downstream costs are attended to as well.
Representative Tuck, and then I have Representative Bishop again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've experienced some special sessions where I know we could not find places. 2016 was a perfect example. There wasn't anything available. I had to stay over at the Prospector with a fellow legislator, and we had to jump from hotel room to hotel room within the same hotel. Unfortunately, I left my underwear in one of the drawers and never got it back.
Hopefully it washed.
But, you know, we were squeezed. We're squeezed on availability. This is allowing some availability here in Juneau. I don't think we should be spending money just to spend money in the private sector. If there's ways that we can save money and provide housing for ourselves, I think we should do that. I just want to remind everybody that it was the private sector that donated this building to us for the purposes of how we see fit. This building used to be a pretty fancy apartment building when it was first built. And so it's really set up for the design that's been proposed. And with little intrusions on the building. The windows are all done really nicely. They I don't know what year that they redid the windows. You can put your back of your hand up against the windows. It was really cold back in January, and you don't feel any cold air coming in. I mean, it's a pretty solid building. Yeah, it's a brick building. It's not going to be anything fancy when it's done. A lot of the electrical work we're looking at proposing to just
to have it done surface, wire mold, you know, just to put outlets where we need to, convenient-wise. There's the infrastructure of it is solid as well, so it's easy. We can easily, at low cost, convert these very easily. But I just want to say that this isn't proposing that we force people to move into these units. They're just available for those that want to. People that want to still live off a couple blocks away, so they will walk. They can still those are still available, but just making it more available. And because it used to be an apartment building at one time, it's not really a dorm room type atmosphere as we once were looking at it, because we were looking at shared kitchens, we were looking at it, but now I think there's kitchenettes and pretty good kitchen facilities in each one of these units. The only thing that's really shared that's going to be dorm style, if anything, would be laundry facilities. But I can tell you where I'm staying at right now, I'm sharing laundry facilities at one washer and dryer between four units. And so, and plus we have laundry facilities down here and here in the Capitol for the same reason, just the shared laundry. So I thought a lot of good work went into this. As far as analysis on what to do with these when we're not in session, we did have those discussions a little bit in our subcommittee on whether or not to just go. I mean, we kind of concluded it might be best just to have them available for our legislators and not do the Airbnb. I'm a big fan of hoping to bring some revenue in for the legislature as well. And for convenience, but the main thing is having something available for us when we're called back in special sessions. And if you do long-term leasings on this when we're not here for the other two-thirds, you're actually shooting yourself in the foot, because when you try to come back, you have no available space to come back to. That's why I kind of like the Airbnb idea. So these are just, I'm just sharing just some of the discussions that we had so that the committee can see, you know, we did exercise a lot of ideas going through this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Mr. Gibson, the contingency cost, how long are they good for?
To the Chair, you know, Senator Bishop, the budget that we put together was trying to include all the things that we could have in the budget and in the construction as well as in the design. The contingency amount is for permits, for construction administration, and for a contingency. So it's all of those things involved. And it's just a number that would allow some flexibility as we go into the construction phase of the project. So I don't know how long it would be good for. It'd be good for the amount of the construction, the length of the construction.
And follow up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I had to leave the last meeting a little early, so I apologize to my colleagues on that subcommittee if this was already talked about. I had to leave. I didn't know. So I just asked that question, you know, price of materials, you know, retailers are quoting increases weekly and bi-weekly. You know, that's how tight this is. I just want to know how tight this number is, and if you feel comfortable with it.
It's a budget estimate. It's not a detailed cost estimate. We recognize the cost increases that are affecting construction and affecting our lives throughout the country. So this is what we're proposing as a reasonable budget. It's not a detailed budget. It's not a detailed cost estimate, but it's a project budget that we think is a reasonable target.
Thank you.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've had a lot of good discussion on this, and I understand that the community leaders have maybe given the okay or thumbs up on the project. I wonder about the people who have properties here or who are in the real estate industry, if those people were addressed. Also, my understanding from before this building was donated to the legislature through I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the group that did that. I understand that there were some bids from private sector folks, that there was two bids that had come in on that firm, people who were looking at doing maybe a remodel, maybe taking it back to apartment buildings, what have you. I don't know because I haven't had a conversation with any of them. But my concern goes to that, you know, this is, we're being asked to approve $5.5 million for a projected budget. We all know that the supply chain issues that we're having right now and the cost of things this is not the ideal time for building. I would have to kind of follow along the line of Representative Edgman in wondering what are the maintenance costs, what are the ongoing costs. We don't have anything in front of us that says that gives us any indication of what that would be. And so what is our cost of investment here? And you know, we're looking at spending $5.5 million of public funds to do this. Do I want all of our staff to be safe? Absolutely, I want our staff to be safe. I think, well, we want our legislators to be safe, but I would think that the city and borough of Juneau, having the capital here, that would be something that they would be very engaged in making sure that that is happening. And I feel like that is something that they do work on to keep the legislature safe. Anyway, with that, I feel that my understanding was that there would be recommendation coming back from the subcommittee, not a proposal saying we're ready to go forward and build and do this build out here, and we would like to have a $5.5 million budget approved. So with that, I would ask that we table this at this time until we get something back from the subcommittee doing a little deeper investigation into the long-term costs of this project.
So you're making a motion to table?
Yes.
Motion to table, debatable?
No.
Okay, so we will vote on that motion. Ms. Geary.
Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Edgman. Representative Foster.
No.
Speaker Stutes.
No.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
No.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Senator Stevens.
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
No.
8 nays, 6 yeas.
So with 8 nays, the motion has not been tabled. I have Representative Klayman before the motion to table, and then I'll Senator Stevens. So Representative Klayman. Stevens,
I just say finally, after I've been here 22 years, finding some sort of a resolution. That's not the only answer, but moving forward, I'm ready to vote on this and move the whole project forward. You know, It's one step. It's a good step. I believe that we owe a lot of debt to the foundation for moving ahead and buying this and giving it to us. Mr. Jensen for his excellent plans. An idea that Senator Bishop brought that I had not realized was the possibility of, I will have no trouble finding tenants for these 33 positions, whether it's legislators first, I hope, then our staff, and then even members of the administration, as Senator Bishop brought up when he was looking for a place. I have no trouble filling that building if we do it properly. The other issue out there, I think, has to do with a reality check of what's happened in Juneau in the last few years. The Baranoff Hotel is closed. I had staff who have stayed there for years, and we can no longer use the Baranoff Hotel, or Baranoff, as you say in Juneau, which is a go. Anyway, it's different in Kodiak. The other issue is the Four Points Hotel. I understand that they were contemplating closing as well. Where would we have been if there was no Baranoff Hotel, no Four Points Hotel? My understanding, Mr. Jensen may respond to this, I understand that the Juneau Foundation intervened and helped them stay open so there'd be access for us to that hotel. In any event, I think finally we have a resolution that will work, and I certainly support it. Thank you.
Representative Edgman and then Senator Michik.
Yeah, I think I can sense the mood around the table, but I just want to say that I'm going to be a dissenting vote today because, if this were a state agency, we would certainly ask for a business plan, an economic analysis of what this is going to cost us operationally, what the revenue is going to be brought in the picture, what this is going to engender in terms of expenses for budgets down the road. We don't have that in front of us unless I'm missing something here. So I'm going to have to be a dissenting vote today. My wish would be that we could at least take a little bit of a time out, get that information, perhaps on an expedited basis, come back and have another ledge council meeting. But if that's not the will of the council, I respect that. But it just seems like we're moving very quickly here to fill a need without really doing a full due diligence on it.
Senator Michiki.
Thank you. They say that this board creates strange bedfellows, and it does, quite literally and figuratively in this case. But I will be joining the rules chair from the House on this. So there's two decision problems we have in the legislature, the ones we make too fast and the ones that we make too slowly, and in this case I think it's too fast. We have no idea what we're going to spend on furnishing these apartments. My estimation on 33 units at a bare bones is $500,000 to $750,000. This proposal has cabinets, doesn't talk about appliances, doesn't talk about furnishings, doesn't talk about the things that we don't know because we haven't had the discussion about what the long-term plan is. And what I notice in this building is sometimes we do things where the cool guys are the first ones to get on a list, and the folks that don't happen to be so cool in that particular legislature maybe are not. So we don't have a policy on how they would be distributed. So I think it was said earlier, I will likely support this if it was better fleshed out. My only no vote today is because we're dropping something on the table. And someone that makes a statement on what they know building costs are going to be 3 months or 6 months or a year from now, I would have the same faith on them being able to determine what oil prices will be in 6 months, because we simply have no idea. So you can't make a decision on trying to time the market on building materials. You have to make a good decision on whether or not it's a good decision. So I appreciate the work. I think it's really valuable. It would likely be where I would go if I saw a plan that said this is the cost of construction, this would be the cost to prepare the units, this is what the policy would be, and you'd probably get an easy yes out of me. So I just think, again, we're putting the cart way before the horse. I know folks are excited about that, and I've equally had a difficult time finding housing in Juneau. I just think it's early. It's too early to make a good decision for me, which unfortunately pushes me in the no call.
Scary.
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, one thing I might add is approval today allows us to complete the bid documents so that we could put this out for individual contractors, which would, those contracts would have to come back before the committee for approval. So with this approval today, this will still have to come back before the committee multiple times depending on those contracts. This just allows the work to begin so we can start putting together those bid documents. So really what this committee is being asked to do today is approve the plan to convert into the three floors of units and basically start working on those details. The other thing that that I would add is we would work with the finance committees to put in some receipt authority so we could use the rent money to pay for operating expenses with the proposed remodel. The building, where the plan is to make it much more efficient, and so it should be relatively inexpensive to operate. And yes, we don't have those exact figures at the moment, but rent should be pretty close to a wash, all things considered. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Follow up.
I appreciate that, but what you're putting out there demonstrates the fact that we don't have those issues in front of us to make an informed decision. We may decide if we did a real analysis. So I've owned rental apartments for 40 something years. Before I would make a decision to go forward, I would have a business plan in front of me that would understand all those costs, and we don't have that. So we're giving permission to move forward on this plan, although we're not making a decision to fund it. We're making a decision to move forward on this plan, and had we had an analysis, we may have determined that the first floor should be office space or some other thing. If we knew how the apartments were going to be distributed, we might decide that that's a solid policy and we're okay with that. If we knew what we were going to spend on furnishings, I mean, we will get someone nickel and dimed on this before it's finished. We don't have a plan in front of us that, so where you would normally have my support because I had those facts in front of me, we don't have those facts. This is a little bit of a leap of faith without having everything before us. And your answer proves, I mean, it agrees with that. And that's fine. If folks want to vote on what we have, that's okay. It just makes me very hesitant.
So I'm going to just, I've got four people in the lineup, Stedman, Bishop, Reinbold, Tilton, Tuck. We do have a hard stop at 9:00. We do have two other items on the agenda.
Well, I'd just like to reiterate this, as mentioned earlier, allows it to move forward so we can put a more refined cost estimate together. Some of these questions asked today could be answered before we take final action. That's not any big thing. It's pretty clear the building was gifted to us. We're not going to have a debt service to pay on it. It's not like you're buying an apartment complex and having to do an elaborate cash flow model on it. And that's not the case at all. And as far as furnishings, my understanding, these are going to be unfurnished. We're not going to outfit them with furniture. And that policy could be, you know, I guess dealt with later on if we want to do something like that. But I think we need to move this forward so we can get a more of a refined cost estimate and have some of these questions answered, not just kick the can down the road. And at that time in the future meeting, we'll have a lot of these questions answered. And if it's so horrible, then we'll modify the plan or terminate it or what have you. I think the housing issue points that Senator Stevens brought up are valid points. Things are getting tighter in town, not looser, for housing. And cost with inflation is going up, not down. So it's not in our benefit to diddly-daddle for 6 months or a year.
Madam Chair, I'd like to call for a question.
question has been called. I'm ready to vote. Ms. Geary, if you'll call the roll.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton. Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michiki.
No.
Senator Hughes.
No.
Senator Schauer.
No.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens. Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
9 yeas, 5 nays.
With 9 yeas and 5 nays, the motion has passed. The next thing on our agenda is not an action item, therefore no motion is required, but we have the FY21 legislative audit. Ms. Geary. Very briefly, if, I don't know if you need to make some opening comments or if members have questions.
Again, for the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director. By statute, the legislature has an annual independent audit of all expenditures. A copy of that is included in your packet. It was a clean audit with no audit exceptions. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'd just like to make a comment. It's nice to have a clean audit. And I'm hoping that when we get the state's financial statements, that's the case, but I think that's highly doubtful.
Okay, we have one more item on our agenda. That is the review of the Legislative Council COVID-19 mitigation policy. LAAA Executive Director Ms. Geary has prepared a draft revised policy based on the requests that have come to my office. Members should have that proposal. I'm going to ask Senator Reinbold to put a motion on the table, and I'm going to object. I believe there were some, there'll be some likely amendments to that. So, Senator Reinbold.
I move that the Legislative Council adopt the COVID-19 mitigation policy as amended.
And I will object and see if there is discussion or proposed amendments. Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. I want to read the cycle testing one where it says legislators, staff, interns, and credentialed media must participate in cycle testing for COVID-19 to access the Capitol and or other buildings in the Capitol complex. Those individuals must be tested at least every 4 days to maintain access to the Capitol complex. I do not support that, and so I am moving I'll tell you a couple reasons what I'm going to do. Why is
you'll tell us the motion
okay.
First, then you'll pause, then we'll have you explain why.
Okay. So I move to take off in the both. The must that says must participate, to change that to may. So in the first line, change must to may, and then delete the last line. Those individuals must be tested, that line.
Okay, so the motion is in bullet point Roman numeral 3, delete the word must, change that to may, and delete the second sentence. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes. So. As we all know, lobbyists are excluded, the public is excluded, and I just pulled up the NIH. The NIH has done a really nice overview of natural immunity, and what they say is about 50% of the people globally have had COVID-19, and natural immunity is absolutely crucial to be part of any public policy. That's paraphrased, but bottom line is, there is such a low risk if someone has natural immunity to test positive again, and it's gone all the way out past 15 months, I believe. But the bottom line is here, it seems excessive in every way to be testing every 4 days, and when it says must, I just absolutely cannot vote for something that says you must be tested and you can't have access to the building. So I do believe it should be available for anybody who wishes to take it. So, you know, but I absolutely do not support that it's mandated. Plus, you can't mandate emergency use anyway. So,
Representative Stutes?
My only concern is this does not address the lounge. And I know that there is some concern on behalf of someone who, on behalf of Stephanie, who runs the lounge. And I know that her preference is when you're in there being masked. And so I'm wondering if this policy could somehow address that, or if the body is willing to address that.
And right now we're going to stick to the amendment to the proposal.
Sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
We'll come. Thank you. Representative Klayman, on the motion to amend.
On the motion to amend, I would just say, members of this council, no worry on this. I'm
sorry, madam. I didn't get the first part of what he said.
I think we all know where we stand on these issues, and I'm calling the question.
So that is the quote. You're calling the question on the motion to amend.
Point of order,
Senator Stevens.
I think you need to understand that. You can call the question simply means that he is ready to vote. If anybody else has any comments, they're perfectly willing to make that. If you made a motion to call the question, that would be a different thing. But this is simply that Representative Klayman saying he's ready to vote. Anybody has any comments, they can continue.
I actually was making a motion to call the question.
But you're calling the question.
Yes.
And help me out here. Is it a debatable motion?
He's calling the question.
No.
We need to vote on whether we're going
okay.
To.
So,
that's
brief right.
Brief
it is. Call us back to order. We have a motion we have a call the question, which we would vote on. That is not the vote on the motion to amend that Senator Reinbold. All right, so first we're going to take the roll call on the motion.
Chair.
Senator.
Senator Schauer.
Go ahead.
It's hard to hear everybody. Can I please get clarity on what I'm voting on? I couldn't hear all of it before we take the vote, please.
Okay, so the motion that we will vote on first is to call the question. The question that it is closing the debate on, if it prevails, is the Reinbold motion on the testing cycle requirements. And I would repeat.
Thank you.
Okay. So the question before us is to shut debate on the motion, the Reinbold motion to amend on cycle testing. Representative Geary. Ms. Geary.
No, thank you. So a yay vote means we're stopping debate, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck. Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michicki.
No.
Senator Hughes.
No.
Senator Schauer.
No.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Senator Stevens.
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
No.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
5 yeas, 9 nays.
5 yeas and 9 nays, we have not closed debate. And so the motion before us for debate is the Reinbold motion. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't know how strict this current language is now. I'd be surprised if everybody's following it. Some of us get tested, some of us don't. I support the amendment to make it optional because I think they're doing it anyway. And those of us that want to get tested should get tested. My main concern is that testing stays available for those of us like myself that want to get tested. Or when there's an issue, staff can get tested on the cycle. But I just don't believe that if we pulled a punch card every 4 days, everybody would be doing that. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd just like to offer an amendment to the amendment that just would say this. This is not really against the amendment, but if folks wanted an in-between statement, it could say Legislative Council recommends that legislators, staff, interns, and credentialed media participate in cycle testing. So it wouldn't be required, but it would make the statement for those that feel stronger about it. I'm not one of them. Just to kind of nudge folks if they feel like getting tested. Strike that sentence as the senator had before. On the self-screening, I would leave that must. If you're not feeling well and you think that you have influenza, a really bad cold, or COVID, you should self-screen and probably not come to work. So if I don't know.
Let me just clarify, yes. Senator Michiki. So the Reinbold motion was only in that first paragraph, and it was. The essence of it was must to may. Your emotion would be must to recommend. Delete must. So legislator, staff, interns, credentialed media. Oh, we would need an adverb.
My motion, Madam Chair, if I may.
Please.
This began with Legislative Council recommends that, and then the word must goes away, and that second sentence goes away as well.
Okay, so we have an amendment to the amendment. Discussion?
Object.
Are you ready to vote on the amendment to the amendment, the Michiki amendment? So we'd be adding Legislative Council recommends at the beginning of that bullet. That legislative staff, interns, and credentialed media participate. And we would continue to drop the second sentence in that bullet. Ms. Geary, I think we're ready for a vote.
Madam Chair, I think the amendment to the amendment, Senator Reinbold's amendment, would drop the second sentence, right? So that's.
And Senator Michiki, they're both dropping both of their amendments.
But we have an amendment to an amendment. I'm misreading this.
The Reinbold amendment was to change must to may,
right,
and delete second sentence. The Michiki amendment to that still drops the second sentence but puts Legislative Council recommends, and the word must is dropped because it now recommends that these people participate. So making it also a permissive, not mandatory, but with the word recommend versus may.
I can clarify and just, so we only have to vote once, if that's okay, if I can restate my motion. Is that okay?
Well, the motion is on the floor, so restating your motion doesn't actually move us further ahead. Mm-hmm. If it achieves what you want, then you can pull it out after we've taken up Michiki's motion.
Madam.
Representative Klayman. Yes. Senator Bishop, we'll take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, I would like to withdraw my amendment to the amendment.
With that, we have the Reinbolt amendment before us, which changes the word must to may, and then deletes the second sentence in that bullet. That is the vote. Senator Stedman.
So do we still have an objection to the amendment?
I object to Machicki's.
I object to Reinbolt.
Okay. We have an objection. Okay. Are we ready to vote? All right. Making sure, Senator Schauer, were you able to hear us?
I think I heard enough of it to understand, Madam Chair, if I'm correct. We're simply voting on the Reinbold Amendment now?
Yes.
True? Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Edgman. Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens. Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
No.
12 yeas, 2 nays.
And with 12 yeas and 2 nays, the amendment has passed. Do we have other, or are we ready? Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In section 1, statement number 3 says other requests not covered by 1 and 2 will be considered by the Legislative Council Chair or her designee. My question regarding that, we haven't had that in any of our previous policies, and so my question is, what is the anticipation on the other requests not covered by an individual legislator may require masks in their legislative office, and that a legislative information office may require the mask to be worn. So I guess my question is, why or what are you anticipating that the Legislative Council needs to give approval to the chair for?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, number 3 is intended to cover a situation such as Speaker Stutes brought up with the lounge staff, or if there was a section within the agency that had an immunocompromised person, they could require that a mask be worn. So it's just to cover those sort of one-off situations and allows cover so that certain offices that aren't individual legislator offices or an LIO could ask that mask be worn. Did that make sense?
So just a follow up. So this would not give the chair the authority to change the policy for the overall face covering being optional. It would only be in specific cases.
Representative Tilton, through the chair, that is correct.
Representative Stutes, did that answer, clarify?
Yes, thank you very much.
Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, and I'm super grateful for that last vote, so thank you guys so much. I do have a point of clarification on Section 4. It's positive tests and close contact. This is page 2, the very top. It says legislators and legislative staff must isolate as directed by health authorities and cooperate with contact tracing and quarantine efforts. The legislature will follow CDC guidance for individuals who test positive and test to stay protocol for those individuals who are in close contact with a person who tests positive. Can somebody elaborate what all that means?
Through the chair, Vice Chair Reinbold. So that statement is just in the event of if somebody tests positive, that they are required to isolate as directed by health authority. So that's only in the case that somebody tests positive. Currently, the CDC guidance is that if you are a close contact and you don't meet these certain requirements of having COVID within 90 days, you're boosted, those types of things, the current protocol is that those people must quarantine for 5 days. So the test-to-stay protocol allows for daily testing for close contacts so that they do not have to miss work.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
Through the chair. So is this basically saying non-vaccinated people have to isolate for 5 days and natural immunity is not recognized even though it is superior?
Through the chair, Vice Chair Reinbold, no, this is only if an individual is sick and tests positive for COVID-19. That is the only time that this would go into effect. And I might read if it's helpful. So the full paragraph, it's split into two different pages, so it's a little confusing with all the extra strike-throughs, but what it says in full, as proposed, in the event of a confirmed positive test result, the Legislative Affairs Agency Executive Director will be notified, who will in turn notify the appropriate presiding officer and rules chair. Legislators and legislative staff must isolate as directed by health authorities and cooperate with contact tracing and quarantine efforts. So those statements are combined.
Doesn't say that clearly, but the kind of individuals being able to call on the masking thing for certain locations will be locations that they're actually entirely in control of. Is that the understanding of the LAA director?
Through the chair, Senate President Michiki, yes. Those types of things would all be covered under three.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With that and us being at a hard close at 9 o'clock, I call for the question. I make the motion that we call for the question.
The question before us would be to adopt the Legislative Council mitigation policy amended today. So there was a written proposal from LAA, and then we made one amendment to it, the Reinbold motion. So under cycle testing, it's now the May. And the second, so that's the only change to the recommended policy before us.
And, sorry.
But we've got.
I know we're under time address here, but what's the net effect of wearing masks in the Capitol?
They become optional.
At the discretion of committee chairs, mm-hmm. if necessary, or
mm-hmm.
of course of business.
May I have one clarifying question before we actually?
Okay, so Representative,
we have two rules chairs here at the table. I just want to make sure when we brought up the issue of the lounge, that when I look at three, that doesn't take away the power of the rules chairs to make a ruling on the lounge. Because the lounge is controlled by the rules chair. And so on the speaker pointed out about the lounge, does that mean that the authority goes to the ledge council chair or does it remain with the rules chair? That's only my question. I want to make sure we're not subverting authority, that's all.
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, the reason the legislative council chair was listed is because it's a legislative council policy and historically, legislative council chair has been responsible for exceptions to the policy. I would not read this as taking any authority away from any committee chair or the rules chair in charge of the lounge. My take on this is that those decisions could still be made I suppose the argument could be made that the legislative council chair could not agree, but I don't think that's the intent of this policy. And intent does matter.
Rules, chairs, do you, before we've... And keep our lounge open and at the request. We don't ever want an unhappy cook. So we do have a question. The question has been called, and it's actually not debatable. And we are 4 minutes past what I was told was a hard stop. So the longer we take, the less, you know. The question has been called. Well, I've got two people who would like to still speak.
Just want a point of clarity, just like they got.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to make sure that there's equal application here. There's no difference between the vaxxed and the unvaxxed in the policy, and that natural immunity is recognized as NIH. Is that correct, Ms. Gary?
Through the chair, Vice Chair Reinbold, those particular factors are covered in adding the test to stay protocol. It treats everyone the same unless somebody tests positive.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize. I know we all need to get to our next meetings. My clarification is that if, in fact, the legislative council chair does make a determination for special situations where somebody, let's say the lounge, wants to have masking, will that be made very clear to the entire building when that decision has been made, so that there is no misunderstandings of the people in the building of what areas where they do have to mask?
That's a great question, Representative Tilton. I would, through the chair, I would recommend that signage be placed, and I could work with the chair to make sure a communication goes out. In each individual committee, they can make that own their own determination, but as far as nonpartisan areas that legislators frequent, will make sure there's signage and notification if masks are required.
We're ready for the vote. So we are voting on a modified COVID-19 policy dated today, where we had one amendment here earlier. Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster. Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
With 14 yeas and 0 nays, the modified new mitigation policy has been adopted. With nothing further to come before the council, we are adjourned at 9:07 a.m. on the 23rd.